20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Saturday, August 10th, 2019. Pack-A-Day, your 24/7, 365 day a year Packers podcast. I'm Jake Rungholt of PackersTalk.com, and joining me, let me get down this resume here for a moment. 30 years in the business and counting. Covered the Philadelphia Eagles for years and years. Mark Eckel is joining us. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. Good. Good day. Packers won their preseason opener. Everybody should be in a good mood.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Nobody got hurt. That was the main fact.
That's the more important thing. Oren Burks had a little bit of a shoulder thing, but hopefully it's not real serious. We'll know later today probably the extent of that.
If that was the best injury that happened, then we got off scot-free. Because, you know, you saw at the Philadelphia Eagles, they lost Nate Sudfeld. You saw Jermaine Kearse being taken off with an air cast for the Detroit Lions. So the Packers got away with one here. And, yes, they won that game 28-26. We actually just had a Pack-A-Day on Friday where they broke down majority of the game. We're going to break down in this a little bit different. We're going to get really deep within this a little bit because I want to talk about a couple of positions that really surprised me. The depth that Brian Gutekunst has already accomplished here. So, like I said, Packers won 28-26. Forget about that. Wins don't matter. Lambeau leap, we got to see that too. But, Mark, what stood out to you in that preseason game?
A couple things. Let's start on offense.
All right.
Jake Kumerow can play. All right.
Yes, he can.
I know he was the wonder kind when last year's preseason, mm-hmm. and would have made the team. Would have probably played a lot last year too if he didn't get hurt. You know, when he did that, you know, stupid thing in the end zone. So, you know, if he can learn to you know, take care of himself a little better and stay healthy, I think this kid could. He's not even a kid anymore, but I think this guy could be. He could be a pretty good wide receiver for him now.
Mark, wasn't it interesting? Wasn't it interesting that you saw Kumerow across the middle where Randall Cobb used to play? So it felt like the Packers are starting to mix him in a little bit.
I mean, he's going to press Geronimo Allison, I think, for playing time at his slot. I'm just wondering this now. Let me ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
If a team like the New York Giants, just to use them as an example, if they called you and offered you a mid-round pick for Geronimo Allison, would you think about it?
I would think about it, but I wouldn't do it. Because even though, yes, he had injury concerns last year, I get that, but that is still one of Rodgers' main guys. I mean, you want to have Devontae Adams, you want to have Geronimo Allison, but we want to see what, you know, Jake Kumerow can do. You know, Randall Cobb's now in Dallas, but you want to keep as much depth as you can on this wide receiver core going forward, especially with new head coach, new philosophy, and new system.
Well, because it's a new head coach, I think that's why you don't. I mean, yeah, I want depth, but the Packers probably have 9 wide receivers who could make an NFL roster right now.
Go for it.
Well, all 9 are. They're not going to keep 9.
No, they're not.
Probably, I mean, six is a good number. They may keep 7, but you know that's a lot. I mean, that means you're going to have to go light somewhere else. Somebody's not making it. I mean, this kid Shepherd looks like a player.
Loved that.
I don't want to get carried away, but apparently he's had a real good camp and he played well again last night. Made a very nice catch in the end zone for a touchdown on a ball thrown kind of high by Kaiser, but. The wide receivers all of a sudden, and then you said that, you know, they've added depth to this team. I think the wide receivers are going to be, when you look at this group, Adams, Allison, Scantling, Kumerow, St. Brown, who am I forgetting?
Jamon Moore.
Who they said have been, well, Moore's going to be the odd man out.
Yeah.
He dropped 2 balls, you know, he slipped on a route. He did make a catch for a touchdown where he was wide open. I got to think he's right now fighting it for his life, and hopefully there's a team that might want him, and the Packers could could trade him and get a, they're not going to get Mark. I mean, they probably get maybe a six, maybe a seven for him, if that.
Yeah, Mark, I see what you're saying, and that's a great point about Jamon Moore. One thing that really turned me off about him, though, was after he caught that touchdown, he walked back to the sidelines like he was Odell Beckham Jr. making this colossal grab. I'm sitting here going, you're on the third team receivers right now, and you're playing this off like, oh, it's no problem, I'm fine. No, I think you're right, Mark. I think he's definitely on that bubble right now for him. And
I don't think he's on the bubble. I think he's behind the bubble. I think he has to play his way onto the roster. I mean, all those guys I forgot the other kid that
Lazard
picked up late last year. Lazard, he's not bad either.
Yeah, from Jacksonville. Yeah, Alan Lazard from Jacksonville, of all places.
They have nine receivers, in my opinion. They have nine receivers who I think will be in the NFL this year. Now, all nine won't be on the Packers. They're not going to keep nine receivers. So they're going to have to do something. And I don't know if they can get some of these guys to the practice squad. A lot of teams need receivers. Both teams in New York are desperate for wide receiver help.
And this has got to make the front office really happy right now that they have so much depth on the wide receiver core that they can, you know, start wheeling and dealing a little bit, some minor trades maybe possibly. And like you said, there was a couple of guys that really stood out to me Thursday night. Darius Shepherd, I thought, really stepped up. I mean, the guy comes out of North Dakota State. Nobody talks about him. Makes a terrific catch. Gets the first Lambeau leap. That was great to see. You talk about Lazard as well. And then I think St. Brown might finish it off right there. But, yeah, I think you're right about Jamon Moore. And I really like this wide receiver depth. And then you mentioned Kumaro. Every time I saw him make that was catch, he had two catches for 27 yards. They were across the middle. They need that speed because that's where Randall Cobb was for years, making those quick slants for Rodgers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I mean, that just stood out to me last night. On the offensive side was the wide receivers. Kumaral, like I said, you know, he did this last preseason. You know, I had guys that were there every day telling me he was their second best receiver last year in camp. You know, until he got hurt, and he was better than Cobb. He was better than Allison. He was better than everybody but Adams.
Staying with offense. Let's talk about the sixth round draft pick out of Notre Dame, Dexter Williams. What impressed you about him?
He runs really hard. I like that. I like backs that run hard, and he showed last night that he could. You know, he's not going to go down with the first contact.
No.
And you know, what do you have, 80 total yards last night? Ran a nice play on a screen.
Yeah, that was beautiful, right off that right side.
That was a nice pick. That was a very nice, very good value pick in the sixth round. And he probably would have been a much higher. He had some off-the-field issues, I guess. He got suspended
for
the first couple of games last year. I don't think it's anything, you know, terrible. But again, it was a little bit of a red flag, and I think that hurt his draft status enough that he fell to the sixth round. And We talked about this after the draft. I thought that was a very, very good value to get a guy that can help you the way I think Dexter Williams can help this offense in the sixth round. A lot of times, sixth round picks, you know, they don't make the team, or they maybe go on a practice squad. Now this guy's gonna be on the team, and he's gonna get his share of work during the course of the season, I believe.
I kept saying that was a late round steal for the Packers. I mean, he had 13 carries and 67 yards. Looked good on that screen. There was a couple of times where I was looking at his yards after the catch, and was really impressed with his performance overall. But now let's get to the nitty-gritty, because this is the Pack-A-Day Podcast on Saturday, August 10th, 2019. I'm Jake Rungholt. Joining me is Mark Eckel. We're breaking down a little bit deep with the Packers and the Texans. We're also going to get into the top 10 most tortured fan bases coming up later on in the show. I want to talk about this defense. I was watching this defense like a hawk, because I had to see these defensive backs, and they did not disappoint. Kadar Holman, Will Redmond. Will Redmond, Mark. If you watched Will Redmond last night, that guy was a one-man wrecking machine. Made a couple good turnovers. Got a fumble return. What really impressed you about these defensive backs?
Well, no, they played well. And again, it was all the kids. I mean, they didn't, you know, you didn't see. Well, they're all even.
Yeah.
Their player kids.
All second-teamers last night.
What's that? I'm sorry. I didn't hear
all second-teamers last night. No starters were playing.
Yeah. Well, Savage started, I believe, only played a couple series, but nobody played last night. That's the whole thing with preseason. Nobody played. So you can't get too excited.
No,
they definitely shut down the Texans wide receivers. Now, granted, you know, a guy named DeAndre Hopkins wasn't out there for the Texans.
No.
Might have been a little bit different. But that said, I mean, no, they did it. Holman for his first ever game.
Wow.
Showed me some, you know, well, we knew he could run. And, you know, he showed that he can play in this league. That he, you know, he has some good cover skills, made a nice pick. Redmond, now he was a third-round pick a few years ago. His problem has been staying healthy. He was 49ers drafted him in the third round. Never was able to stay, you know, play a season, play for him. He was always on injured reserve. So, yeah, there's a guy that you got to look at. I thought Raven Green had a nice game at safety.
Yeah, your boy Green.
Redmond recovered. I thought the secondary was probably the highlight of the defense Thursday night. And keep one thing in mind. Now Joe Webb was quarterback for the Texans.
The only one.
He played the whole game, which was, you don't see that often in the preseason. But they weren't going to play Watson.
Right.
He gave a counter turn.
No, of course.
And the fourth guy, whose name escapes you right now, they just signed him. He probably didn't even know the plays yet. But Joe Webb's not a good quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he's not.
He's been in the league 10 years.
Isn't that insane? He started his career with the Minnesota Vikings. He played a little time in Carolina. Now he's in Houston. It's just like, how in the world did this guy get a career?
Well, can I finish my statement here?
Yeah, of course.
He's been in the league 10 years. 10 years ago, most of these guys that he was playing against for the Packers were in eighth grade. So that says something to me that those guys, I mean, like Webb made some plays last night with his feet. And a lot of that, I think, was the Packers were playing man-to-man. So their backs were to him, and the coverage was so good that he just took off and ran, and he hurt him a little bit. Now, if that was a real game, I think Patton makes some adjustments, and they take that away. But again, it's preseason. You want to put in what you're putting in. He wanted his D-backs to play man and cover guys, and you know, Webb wants to run around and make plays. That's great, but you know, he is an experienced NFL quarterback going against a bunch of guys that were playing for the first time in their lives. Another guy that I thought that played well at linebacker was their seventh-round pick, Summers.
Ty Summers.
He played a lot because Burks got hurt early, so he went in probably sooner than they expected him to and played most of the game, and I believe he had 10 tackles, missed a couple. The Packers, that was the one, if you want to ask me what was the worst thing of the night, too many missed tackles.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, there was a couple of moments where I sat there and went, why are you trying to connect with your shoulder pads? Why aren't you trying to make the tackle? Yeah, you could definitely see the rust was trying to be shaken off a little bit. I saw that with Tony Brown a few times.
I'm going to tell you why they missed tackle.
Why is that?
Because they don't practice. Nobody tackles in practice anymore.
Yeah.
You don't tackle in practice and you don't hit in practice, but then you don't hit and tackle in the games either. That's what the NFL's coming to. Everybody's so afraid of getting somebody hurt. That training camps become a country club now. And, I mean, I go back a long way, and I sound like the old guy now, but I remember when you actually practiced and you actually, like, tackled and you actually, like, you know, hit guys. Not the quarterback, obviously, but, you know, you did things. It was hard. And you went twice a day. And your work, the guys were tired at the end of the day at training camp, and they went right to sleep. Because they were exhausted, and now it's like, you know, they practice for an hour and a half and they call it a day, and then they don't even hit, and then you wonder why you know they miss tackles in the game. Well, yeah, because they don't know how to tackle.
Mark, you're dead on because I mean that's
my rant for the day.
No, that's good, and we always appreciate those rants here on Pack a Day, and always going to be that way. But I think you're right because it just comes down to that collective bargaining agreement, the lack of practices. I mean, I go back to 1997 when Dick Vermeil became the head coach of the St. Louis Rams, and he ran those guys ragged. 3-hour practices twice a day, and now it comes to a point where I look on my phone, and every time it's like, oh, look at this acrobatic catch. Oh, look at this run. And I'm like, can I see some tackles? Can I just see a reporter take a video? of some tackling drills? Like, what happened to the Oklahoma drill? Why can't we have that again?
Yeah, they're not around anymore.
Jeez. You're absolutely right, though. And that's our rant for today here on Pack-A-Day on Saturday, August 10th, 2019. But, of course, you got to go back to it. It's preseason, folks. It's fun to break down. It's fun to get excited a little bit. But let's remind ourselves, while the defensive backs look good, while there was some good offensive talent, it's still just preseason. All right, let's jump.
I'm going to point out one other positive.
Go for it.
From Thursday night's game.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's been terrible and was worse than terrible last year, it was the all-time terrible, all-time dreadful, was to play the Packers special teams last year.
Agreed.
Last night they had a fumble on a return with that guy. You'll never see him again. but the special teams, you know, scored the first touchdown, which
yes.
is pretty nice to see the special teams contribute in a huge way. And it was a whole thing. It was a great punt by J.K. Scott. Long, deep, high. I think it had 5 seconds of hang time.
Mark, he kicked that from the 24.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of a like a little spin and it hits off the Texas return guy and Sam Brown's right there to recover it first. I mean, that was a really good special teams play all around, and I don't think we saw anything like that last year, did we? Well, if we did, it happened against the Packers. We didn't see the Packers ever do anything like that. So that was like, wow, look at that special teams did something good. Now they still had to clean up a couple penalties like they always have on returns. But the coverage, you know, was better, I think, in some areas. But I just thought, you know, last year I was very, very critical of the Packers special teams almost every week. So it was nice to see them actually make a big play.
Yeah, that was great to see from the special teams. And you could definitely tell with Ron Zook being fired, hallelujah, the special teams might actually improve this year. We'll see what happens there. All right, let's jump to our final segment here on Pack-A-Day. And this was interesting. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports wrote this. This is the top 10 most tortured fan bases. Here we go. So we'll start from...
Football or all sports or just football?
Just football. Just the NFL. Okay. So the top 10 NFL fan bases that are tortured. Number 10, the Raiders. Number 9, Packers. Number 8, Vikings. Number 7, 49ers. Number 6, Bengals. Number 5, Lions. Number 4, Falcons. Number 3, Redskins. Number 2, Jets. Number 1, Giants. Timeout. How in the world, Mark?
Where to Cleveland Brown?
Exactly. That there is one team that it is missing here. I mean...
The Cleveland Browns are number one. I mean, those poor fans, they've never won a thing. I mean, since in the Super Bowl era, they've never even gotten to a Super Bowl. They've had nothing but, you know, terrible number one picks until recently. The Cleveland Browns, and God bless them. They turn out every week and the dog pound and all that. No, they're number one. They don't make the cut. That's ridiculous. But throw that list away and I never want to hear it again.
Like, I couldn't believe when number one was the Giants. I sat there and went, they won 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me with that? I mean, the Cleveland fans have been dying for a Super Bowl. The Lions have been dying for a Super Bowl.
Cleveland and the Lions have never even gotten one.
No, they haven't, and neither has Detroit.
I'm saying the Cleveland, yeah, the Browns and the Lions have never even gotten one. At least the Bengals got the 2. You know?
And then how do you get to the – and then how do you put the Packers on here? I mean, look, I understand.
No, we've been tortured. No, you don't. Well, you know why?
We haven't been that tortured, though. We've been spoiled since 1992 and beyond.
Well, here's why I'm going to say the Packers fans have been tortured.
Okay.
We could have had more. Like, we're not tortured in the way of the Lions, but we're tortured in that 4th and 26.
We're
tortured in that. And, Brian, we're tortured in the – and the Seattle loss.
Yes. Ooh, that was brutal.
We're tortured in that giant, in that freezing game in overtime against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
We're tortured in the Hail Mary game. You know, there's been some, I can go on, there's probably a few more I'm not remembering here. I mean, Brett Favre should have won more than once. That loss to the Broncos in the Super Bowl. That is true. Brett Favre should have won more than one Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know? And so should Aaron Rodgers, but, you know.
Well, Rodgers isn't done yet. Rodgers isn't done yet, so I'm like, he still might. Mm-hmm. But Favre is done, and he only won one. He should have, I think he should have gone to a couple more. Well, the 4th-and-26 year, they win that game. Who knows? They play Carolina. That would have been an interesting game. I think they might have won that game, and they would have, I don't know if they would have beat New England, but they would have been in another Super Bowl. That loss to that cold overtime loss to the Giants, that would have been another Super Bowl.
Niners. I mean, Colin Kaepernick.
What the Niners beat them? Niners beat them.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not gonna. You know, sometimes you tip your hat and say, like, I don't think the Eagles were better than the Packers that day.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. But we just got.
That was Mike Sherman made. Mike Sherman made three bonehead calls in that game.
Yes, he did.
Yep. I don't think the Giants were better the year they beat them in that 0-degree, you know, whatever it was, that Ice Bowl 2, whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't think Seattle was better. Not that day. They were better all year, but that day the Packers were clearly the better team.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy let that one go. Yeah, that.
So I mean,
that was frustrating.
We've been tortured in those ways, in terms of not the way the Cleveland Browns have been tortured in that they don't even. Those poor people those Browns fans would love to have lost the games the Packers lost, because at least they would have been in them. You know what I'm saying? They would have at least been in the playoffs. But I could see where Packers. I could see making a case that Packers fans are in the top 10 towards their teams. But in my eyes, probably a good spot. But the Vikings should be higher on that.
The Vikings should be number two, Mark. You got to go back. Right? This is a team that lost four Super Bowls. They had one of their best, the best coaches in NFL history with Bud Grant, and he couldn't win a Super Bowl. 1998, they had the best offense in the NFL. They can't beat Chris Chandler and Terrence Mathis.
The guy misses his only field goal of
Gary Anderson. He was 41 for 41. And not just.
Hey, wait a minute. Where did you say? I didn't hear you say Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, the Bills aren't in here.
How are they not? They lost four in a row.
And then
haven't been good since.
Yes, Scott Norwood, wide right. That was their big shot. But, you know, you got Thurman Thomas. Yeah,
that's a terrible match.
Thank
the
you.
Don't
that's the what I, that's what I'm
belong
saying. This is a terrible list. How do you put, Mark, how do you put the San Francisco 49ers in here? They are a dynasty, for crying out loud. They won five Super Bowls. What?
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, if you're a Niners fan, you've had your. If you're old enough, you have good memories. You know?
Yeah, you have Joe Montana, yeah, Steve Young.
The Niners don't belong near that high. No. The Giants certainly don't belong on that list.
Giants are not number one.
Cleveland's got to be one. Buffalo's got to be like two or like Cleveland, Vikings, Buffalo, Detroit's got to be your top four.
Vikings, I think Vikings should be higher.
What's that?
I think Vikings should be higher because, I mean, you go back, Chris did.
I think they're top four. I think Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo, and Minnesota, in whatever order you want to put them, are 1, 2, 3, 4. I think Cleveland's one, without doubt. That's his thing.
Yeah, the Browns should be number one, but the Vikings should be in the top four at least. So I agree with that. I mean, another thing, too, with the Vikings, you know, they're also pretty much like the redheaded stepbrother of the Green Bay Packers because – you know, you go back Monday Night Football, Al Michaels has that. He did what when it was Antonio Freeman grabbing that ball? I don't know. Still don't know how he did that. But then they also get Brett Favre from the Packer, from, you know, they play. Let me try this again. With the Jets, and then he goes to the Vikings, gets them to the NFC Championship game, third down, throws it across the middle, Tracy Porter picks it off. 2 years ago, NFC Championship game, they get plowed by Nick Foles and the Super Bowl-bound Philadelphia Eagles. And I won't even mention 2000 when they got plastered by Kerry Collins and the New York Giants.
No, you're right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they belong to us. So I think we spent too much time. Or that guy, don't ever read anything that guy writes again and throw that list in the garbage.
Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports, thank you very much for one of the worst lists we've ever had here. But here on Pack-A-Day, we will break it down and we will bring you the truth when it comes to most tortured fan bases. But it was interesting how Mark was able to bring up about the Packers. I never thought of that, but, you know, That's a good call.
We've been tortured. We've
been tortured over the last couple of years. You're right. I said, you got anything else?
No, I'm good. I think we touched all bases today.
All right. Well, Mark, then we'll talk in 2 weeks, and the Packers will be going through week 3.
Then we'll have a little more handle on what the regular season roster is going to look like and getting excited for that Thursday night opener against the Chicago Bears.
Absolutely. I'm counting down the days. All right, Mark, it's always appreciated to be here on Pack a Day with you.
All right. Take care, Jake. We'll talk again.
Yep. All right, that was Mark Eckel. You know, if I gave you a shot of his resume, I promise you, it would just be mind-boggling to you what this guy has been able to do. And like I said, it's always a pleasure to have him here on Pack a Day. But like I said, you know, yeah, we broke down the preseason, got a little excited here, and I get that. You know, it's our first dose of football coming to us. And, you know, the thing is when it comes to this is that you got to look at the individuals. You can't look at the game plans or anything like that. You got to be looking at the players that are going to be able to be a part of a 53-man roster. We got a good taste of what we'll be seeing here throughout the preseason. There's a couple of good players. Like I said, you know, Ty Summers, as Mark said, Alan Lazard, you know, from Jacksonville came across. He really showed off some good talent also. And then, you know, Jamon Moore, better be watching the rearview mirror, because there are receivers who want your job. And like I said, I did not appreciate with how he reacted when he caught that touchdown by Tim Boyle. I kind of sat there and went, What are you, Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, come on, man. Get over yourself. That's just me, though. All right. And then, of course, the most tortured fan bases. What a terrible list. But I'm really glad that Mark was able to bring us some reminders. Yeah, we've been tortured over the last 10 years. So I get that. All right. If you got any comments or concerns, you can tweet Mark Eckel at MarkEckel08. You can tweet me at WrongHoltSports. That's RONG. HOLT Sports, or you can tweet us at Pack a Day Podcast. One minor little shout out here to our founder, our creator of Pack a Day, Andy Herman. I know that this guy was excited when he got to see Tim Boyle throw 2 touchdowns in that preseason game against the Houston Texans. So I'm sure he was just ecstatic of the way that Tim Boyle threw the football. And I won't lie, he did throw a pretty good football. Like I said, I feel like he should be the backup to Aaron Rodgers, but that's a story for another time. All right, that's it for Pack a Day here on Saturday, August 10th, 2019. The three greatest words in the dictionary of the Green Bay Packers is go, pack, go. And we will see you next time on Pack a Day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.